From the Rio Grande to the Sabine and the Canadian to the San Antonio. If it's in Texas, it's on Pratt on Texas. Now, here's your Texan-in-Chief, Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis. And we don't have a corporate management muzzle here. Our Lone Star story of the day, Del Rio sector of the Texas-Mexico border gets closed over the weekend, and the pressure got so bad on Biden, not only did they reverse course and do that, they're now repatriating Haitians. We've got much in the border news stack. That's our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services, providing the best service in DOT business and personal and drug and alcohol testing since 1995, AlliedCompliance.com. The media is reporting that insiders are telling them that Beto Poncho O'Rourke will run for Texas governor. Okay. So-called doctor purposely aborts a baby with a heartbeat in San Antonio to defy Texas law. And in the second half, space historian and science writer Bob Zimmerman of BehindTheBlack.com on SpaceX's profound accomplishment this past week with splashdown on Sunday evening. Listen anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your schedule. Get the podcast of today's show at PrattOnTexas.com. As always, it is, my friends, a great day to be a Texan. Maybe not if you're a former disgraced auto dealer and high flyer, civic cheerleader, leader type guy, but as expected, the Lubbock Avalanche Journal reporting that what we would expect to be true was that Shane Smith, the former chief financial officer, and Stephen Reinhart, former legal and compliance director for that Rager Dykes Auto Group, I think, isn't that the largest fraud in the history of car dealerships and the auto industry in America, based in Lubbock? Those two are listed as potential witnesses in the October trial of Bart Rager in federal court in Amarillo. And also, my friends, a story out of Lubbock, frightening. Now, I know how elevators work very, very well, and I don't know why the brakes would take so long to engage. You got to look at this, but a driver for a place I like, by the way, a delivery driver for Woody's Brick Oven Pizza, had to be rescued from that giant parking garage. It has the bar on top. You know, we've done Pratt on Texas from there before. From up atop, looks out over Jones Stadium for Texas Tech. He was in there late, and the elevator fell 7 stories with him in it. Thankfully, he wasn't hurt, but the brakes, go look it up. Watch videos on YouTube how elevator brakes work, what Mr. Otis invented it. It's amazing. They do work, but boy, they didn't stop the fall until 3 feet from the ground, so something really bad there. It said they claimed that it was none of the emergency buttons or anything works in it. Somebody's going to be in trouble. That's a scary thing, and a big scary thing in Lake Worth. They're in the Fort Worth area, Lake Worth today. 2 pilots were hospitalized and 3 people treated for minor injuries after a military jet crashed in a Lake Worth neighborhood on Sunday morning. It's when it happened. Both pilots ejected. One was found in the power lines with his parachute. The other was found in a nearby neighborhood. One was taken in critical condition by Care Flight to Parkland in Dallas. Ambulance took the other pilot to Texas Health, Harris Methodist Hospital, Fort Worth. They have way too many words in their name. Plane came down the neighborhood about a mile north of the Naval Air Station Joint Reserve Base, Fort Worth. They were flying a Chief of Naval Air Training identified that they were flying a Navy T-45C Goshawk jet trainer, an instructor pilot, and a student aviator. Jet was assigned to the Naval Air Station Kingsville on a routine training flight up from Corpus Christi. 3 houses were damaged when it crashed in the backyards, and 3 residents were treated for minor injuries, but nobody killed. 2 off-duty Fort Worth firefighters ran to help the pilots. Amen. One woman rushed to help older neighbors get out of their homes, and no one was killed, and we sure hope the pilot who's in critical condition recovers. We don't know if that was the trainer or the student. It doesn't matter. We wish them the best. Scary day there in Lake Worth on Sunday morning. By the way, today in Texas history, it was pretty scary if you were alive back then in 1967, September 20th. That's right, Hurricane Beulah. That's a great name for a hurricane. How many Beulahs did you know in your life? I knew several when I was young. Hurricane Beulah, third largest hurricane of the 20th century, struck South Texas, battered the state for 2 days, hit Brownsville with winds at 140 miles an hour, moved northwest across South Texas to the vicinity of Alice, then turned southwest, crossed the Rio Grande between Zapata and Laredo, and finally blew itself out in Mexico. So it hit, ran up into Texas, way up near, you know, all the way up the Alice area, and then went back across, and it was bad. Tornadoes spawned by it did tons of damage in South Texas and Northeast Mexico, and President Johnson declared 24 counties in South Texas a disaster area. That was September 20th, 1967. Our look at Texas history, sponsored by our friends at USA Investigations, providing professional surveillance, witness interviews, statements, and more. They do it. I mean, they've got security, they're licensed, all the good stuff. Investigate for more at usainvestigations.net. Well, a so-called doctor, I thought you're supposed to heal and not kill, but a San Antonio doctor admits to violating Texas' controversial new law on abortions. That's right, he did an opinion piece for the Washington Post, so he's getting his little bit of fame with his, immoral worshipers or friends out there. Dr. Alan Braid, a longtime physician, and I think in San Antonio, and he said, he wrote a piece, "Why I Violated Texas' Extreme Abortion Ban." Excuse me, nothing is more extreme than going inside and killing a healthy human baby just because the people who made it, it's more convenient for them to snuff it out and not have it around. That's the child. He didn't say how long his patient had been pregnant, but said the pregnancy was still in the first trimester. He acknowledged the procedure could draw legal consequences, but I want to make sure Texas didn't get away with this bid to prevent this blatantly unconstitutional law from being tested. I acted because I had a duty of care to this patient. Care? Wait a minute, there are two human beings there. That baby's not a tissue mass of the mother. It's a unique human being with unique DNA. So he thought it was care to go in and murder that baby, to kill that baby so he can make a political point. That's how sick this whole abortion movement is, ladies and gentlemen. Sicko alert. Oh, well, there you go. And that just turns my stomach. I guess this might turn your stomach, but in a different way. Axios and a lot of other people reporting that sources say Beto plans to his comeback in the governor's race, and that Former Robert Francis O'Rourke, the fake Hispanic who grew up with wealthy, white, and politically connected white parents who had his Mexican nanny and everything, and he goes by Beto. Well, his name's Francis, and short for Francisco is Pancho. That's why we call him Beto Pancho here. Says he's going to run, and they're all excited. The state Democrat Party chairman's all excited, saying he'll be our strongest candidate, which is probably true, Axios says this would give the Democrats a high-profile candidate with national fundraising network to challenge Abbott and give O'Rourke, the former three-term congressman from El Paso, a path to political comeback. You know what else it'll do? It's going to push Abbott's GOP primary reelect numbers much higher if he's really in it by then and running for the Democrat nomination. And everybody will just end up rallying behind Abbott again. And, I think it's going to be hard to beat Abbott in a primary anyway. He needs a good challenge, but I think that'll be the result. Dallas Morning News has a survey showing that in a hypothetical matchup, O'Rourke has narrowed the gap with Abbott, 37% to 42%. It's a 4 to 6 point state generally. O'Rourke got that down to a little more than 3.5%, against Ted Cruz, but we'll see what happens. Gilberto Hinojosa, that bigot who runs the Democratic Party, who once said that brown people are theirs. You know, that's just pure bigotry. He's all excited about it. Well, fine. Let Beto Pancho run. I'm not very excited about it, but I think he's the type of candidate with all the radical things he said on the Second Amendment and so many other things, and the fact that a lot of Hispanics that are not so hot on the Democrats right now see that he's kind of a fake on all that, too. What is it? They call it cultural appropriation?
More from the True Texan Studio after this.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
I think one of the challenges that all small business owners are facing today is while they may be less than 50 employees, they're still competing with the big box companies that have full-blown benefit plans. Employers are looking for solutions, and my out-of-the-box thinking is providing a solution.
With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. HurleyBenefits.com.
It's the real talk of Texas with the authentic accent thrown in free. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. A little more political news out of, well, my campaign and political stack before I get to the big Lone Star story of the day, which involves the border and all that, those Haitians down in Del Rio. State Rep Scott Sanford out of McKinney announced he'll retire at the end of this term. The Texas Tribune reported that, that he announced yesterday on Sunday he's not running for re-election. They've got grandkids and they want to spend time with them. He has been the HD 70s rep since 2013. He's 57. He's a pastor at Cottonwood Creek Church in Allen, and he served his time and going to go on and do other things. Biden actually the divider in chief, not the uniter, even though he ran on uniting, which we all knew that was bull. That's new polls. New York Post reporting a majority of Americans believe the nation's become less united since Biden took office. That means less than under Trump. 54% of respondents think the country's less united, while only 37% say it's more united. It was a Fox News poll. That was Biden's big campaign pledge. The president's taking a hit on over his compassion and ability to lead. He's He got very high negatives across the board. He's very much underwater on his handling of Afghanistan. Surprisingly, people on his disapproval has risen. That's not surprising. It was the mental soundness for it to lead. 49% saying he has it and 48% saying no. And that just shows you how many people aren't paying attention to anything or watching these press conferences or anything like that. And he gets his highest marks in handling COVID, 55%. That, again, shows how propagandized people have been by the media. Absolutely ignorant. We'll drive right into our border stuff. And before I get to all the big story, I've got an example of media ignorance right out of the border stack. And I've told you before, yes, there's an agenda, leftist agenda in the media. But one of our biggest problems, especially reporting on our courthouses, our city councils, our tax rates, our budgets, everything, is just reporters. It's all part of this millennial age. They're ignorant as all get out. They just don't know anything, and they don't know that they don't know anything. And a headline writer didn't do this because it's in the lead by the reporter as well. Randall Case, working for some TV station, Fox West Texas. I think they cover Abilene and San Angelo, but it could have been one of their other affiliates. It wasn't clear. Here's the headline. State Rep Pfluger visits Del Rio, condemns Biden administration. Begins the story. State Representative August Pfluger spent Saturday in Del Rio speaking to border and city officials about the current influx of a state rep. He's the new congressman. He's not a state representative. He's a United States representative, a member of Congress for the Texas 11th District. And the reporter doesn't even know this stuff. Folks, you cannot, the level of, and they don't care, former media partners, they don't care about this. They don't care that they're ignorant. They just figure, they don't respect the audience. Nobody caught this. It's been up there since the 19th. It's been up since early in the noon on the 19th, and nobody in that whole deal has bothered to notice he's not a state rep. He's a congressman. He's your new U.S. rep. How do you trust reporting when it's not a misspeak in that case? He didn't know, whoever wrote it didn't know. Then it didn't, and too lazy to even look it up to verify and make sure. Why would a state rep be dead? Anyway, I'm sorry, but I'm just telling you, it's hard for people to believe that people get these jobs. Oh, they're on TV, and they don't know anything. Let me tell you, I haven't done interviews with them for 25, 30 years almost. It's not hard to know. Because they usually come with a list that their news director wrote them, and they don't know anything. Very few do. U.S. closes part of Texas border. Remember, we were going to do that, and they requested our help, and then Biden, the White House, got it. Oh, no, we're not going to do that. That'll make Abbott look good. Well, it really is that bad. And even the Associated Propagandist had to report that the U.S. acted Sunday to stem the flow of migrants into Texas by blocking the Mexican border in an isolated town. I love that isolated town, Del Rio, where thousands of Haitian refugees have set up camp, but the migrants quickly found out other ways to cross nearby. They didn't quickly find that out afterwards. Yeah, they were walking across a weir dam. Last week, we had video all week, including a video put out by Congressman Chip Roy, showing them walking across the shallow river in long lines and not being interdicted by anybody. A lot of these people from Haiti have been living in Latin America for several years. They left Haiti after an earthquake several years ago. But we're sending them back. The mayor said in Del Rio, Bruno Lozano said that there are over 14,500. Last week, the beginning of the week, we had like 3,000 under that bridge. 14,500. And at the end of the week, by the end of the week, and Biden and them didn't want to shut the border down until it got so hot for them on TV. By the way, Fox News got a court injunction against that FAA flight restriction that was nothing more than using regulation to impede the press. They will be removed, says the Border Patrol chief at a big press conference. Chief Ortiz delivered remarks Sunday afternoon and answered some questions out there at Del Rio at that bridge. They will be removed or they'll be sent back to their country of origin as mandated under our law. We're working around the clock to expeditiously move migrants out of the heat elements promoted, it says here, Eaters Bridge. I don't know what that means. To our processing facilities, there's a typo in all this, in the Breitbart story, I guess. But they've already landed some planes. They're flying them back to Haiti, Port-au-Prince. On Saturday, Governor Abbott deployed more than 50 DPS patrol troopers into the camp to block further border crossings where they were walking across a weir dam. And so we got this done, and it took state effort too. Trump says U.S. becoming a cesspool of humanity. He said the largest number of illegal aliens in the history of our country are pouring in by the millions. They're totally unchecked and unvetted. By the way, it's not an overstatement. This fiscal year alone, they've caught, 1.7 million so far? That's who they've caught. They're totally unchecked and unvetted, can do whatever they want, go wherever they want, Trump said in a statement. Our country's rapidly becoming a cesspool of humanity. Murderers, drug dealers, and criminals of all shapes and sizes are a big part of this. Yes, they are. I give you the reports every week. Tons of people have already been convicted in this country of all kinds of sex crimes, murder, you name it. They've been picked back up reentering. Trump said tens of thousands are coming from Haiti and many more from countries in Africa, even more so now than South America. That's true in the Del Rio situation. Nothing is done, and the corrupt mainstream media has given almost no attention to what will perhaps be the greatest crisis in the history of our country. He noticed it's not only a crisis at the border, it's a crisis. He likes to overemphasize there, which actually lessens the impact of your word, the effect of your word. Governor Abbott signed a $1.8 billion extra border spending bill on Friday, and he did that in Fort Worth. Said it's the Fed's job to secure the border, but Biden administration's failed to do it, so Texans are stepping up. And he also signed the bill for the foster care system and put the money back, the one that puts the money back in the budget to fund the legislature that he had vetoed in a game of gamesmanship. He didn't sign that in a public setting. Border Patrol agents find dozens of migrants in 18-wheeler. This out of KOSA, out of Middle Odessa, Dateline Sierra Blanca. We see these stories every day. Second inspection found 49 illegal aliens in a trailer of an 18-wheeler from Brazil, Ecuador, El Salvador, Honduras, Guatemala, Mexico, and Peru. Driver was arrested, turned over to the feds. And my friends, a little bit of good news. Now, the editors at National Review had a big piece, the immigration radicalism of the Democratic Reconciliation Bill. It is radical. I gave you some of that last week. I mean, it is beyond radical, folks, legal and illegal immigration. It's not just to give DACA people a free ride and an amnesty. It's almost everybody. It's radical. But some good news late Sunday, Senate parliamentarian has dealt them a big blow, crushing blow, AP says, to what was the party's clearest pathway in years to obtaining that long-sought goal of what? You know, tons of amnesty to vote for Democrats. Said they can't do it in the reconciliation bill, so then that will be subject to the filibuster. Great news there. We're going to talk to our friend Bob Zimmerman upcoming. Stand by, my friends, for more Pratt on Texas.
Pratt's back in a moment after we hear from those who pay the bills.
Do you think going to the dentist for a lot of work can be fun? How about if it cost you much less and is part of the deal? You got a wonderful vacation in one of the world's most desired locations. Costa Rica is world-renowned for dentistry and its dental laboratories, and our dentist, Dr. Sylvia Zuniga of DentoCare, provides the kind of expert, personalized service you would think only the super wealthy would get. I'm not kidding about that. Costa Rica is also one of the most desirable countries to visit in summer or winter, and you'll even be near Texas Tech's new campus when with Dr. Zuniga. Many Pride on Texas listeners have made the trip a few more than once and have said it was one of the best decisions they've made. Learn more about our dentist and friend, Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and DentoCare, by clicking the banner at prideontexas.com. Go to prideontexas.com and click on the DentoCare banner. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
Now, here's a man who thinks you take the good with the bad from an elected official. But when the bad threatens liberty, you throw the bum out. It's Robert Pratt with more Pratt on Texas.
We're very happy to have back with us on Pratt on Texas, Robert Zimmerman. Bob is the keeper of BehindTheBlack.com, one of the sites I visit every day focused on space exploration and science. It also, unfortunately, the government interjects itself into everything, so it gets a little political at times as well. But it's a space site and science site. Bob is a renowned author for science histories. He's an historian, and longtime listeners have heard him on the program many times before. Of course, what we want to talk about to begin with today is the really historic moment, the absolute historic moment that happened this last week. And it's a company, they didn't launch from Texas, but as you know, Elon Musk has moved himself to Texas. He has moved a lot of the company to Texas. They had been SpaceX, which stands for Space Exploration. They had been testing rocket engines in McGregor outside of Waco from the beginning. They have roots here. He's moved here. A lot of this company is still in Hawthorne, California. Hopefully someday he'll just move it all to the Lone Star State, but he's probably smart keeping a little space here and a little space there. You never know what the political whims are. But this was a big, big deal. And Sunday evening, the first civilian space trip. I mean, into real space, not this low Earth or, you know, the up and down thing, but real stuff. They landed back on Earth safely on Sunday evening, and last week they launched. And Bob, I wanted you to talk about your essay first. The real human exploration of the solar system began, and it's a date to remember, 15 September 2021. Explain.
Yes. People talk about the all-civilian crew, and that's true. None of these were, quote, professional NASA astronauts on this flight. The four people there were all not professional astronauts. They've came from other walks of life, though. Two of them were jet pilots and so had experience and actually did run the mission as much as they need to, since the Dragon capsule resilience is pretty much automated. But what we don't say, when you say that, you're not really focusing on what's really different about this flight. What's really different is that everything you watched, every employee that you saw, every speaker in Mission Control or on the live cast, every single person running that mission was a private employee of SpaceX. The capsule, the recovery ship after they splashed down with the divers in the helicopter, the launch pad, the rocket, the capsule, everything was privately built and privately owned. The government had nothing to do with this.
Let's clarify that using the Kennedy Space Center, the government didn't run this deal. They even used their own buildings there. They just lease that space like if you were leasing a hangar at an airport. I mean, it is private completely.
It's private. It's all private. I mean, yes, there's some peripheral stuff from the government, like the range offices, the Air Force. But essentially, this was all private, all private. We didn't see, you know, when you're watching it, you're not seeing any government people involved. You just don't. It's all private. And that's what makes this the beginning of the space era. I mean, I made two points in that essay. The first point was really not made by me, but it was made by John Innsbrucker. Innsbrucker is a chief engineer at SpaceX, and he often hosts their live stream. And when the mission was about 5 minutes old, they had just done a first stage separation. The first stage was heading back to a safe vertical landing on a drone ship. And so the second stage engine had ignited, and the capsule was essentially on its way to orbit. Everything, all the hardest stuff had been done. The only thing left was to separate the capsule from the upper stage. That was pretty much it. And so they were pretty much on their way to orbit now. And at that moment in time, 5 minutes into the mission, Innsbrucker said some really, just to the side almost, he said, "Also notice we're really up there now, well past 100 kilometers. Now, at the moment, they were 193 kilometers up and high, rising steadily. But 100 kilometers is a key. He picked that number, I think, quite intentionally, because the two suborbital flights that occurred in July with Blue Origin and Virgin Galactic, they all struggled to get up to 100 kilometers to, quote, cross the official line into space. And in fact, Virgin Galactic doesn't get that high. It gets above 50 miles, which is a little short of 67 kilometers, and is the American definition of space rather than the international definition of space. So Innsbrucker mentioned that because at 5 minutes, those two suborbital flights had just barely reached that 100-kilometer point and were pretty much on their way down. The flight was over. But here, they're at 5 minutes, that are 193 kilometers, and this three-day mission is just beginning. They're going to orbit. And what that really did was illustrate a fundamental difference between the suborbital flights and this orbital flight. The suborbital flights can't get us anywhere. They can never get to space. All they can do is give their passengers a short thrill and their bragging rights to say they were in space and experienced weightlessness for
Sort minutes. Of like the old barnstormers when airplanes were new. You got in one, you got up a few hundred feet, maybe 1,000 feet, you flew around compared to a jumbo jet that takes people all the way around the planet. That's even not even enough of a difference as an analogy.
The difference is even more fundamental, right. Robert.
Planet-bound versus not planet-bound.
Yeah, the orbital flight is a rocket and capsule that can actually take us somewhere in space. It can bring payloads into orbit that can actually make it possible eventually to explore the solar system, while the suborbital flights can't. Now, that's the first point, but the second point is even more important. This has to do with the private nature of this flight. For the last half century, we have been imprisoned by what I call the tentacled control of government when it comes to space travel. Everything had to be under, quote, a space program dictated by the government. And, you know, even though the government was successful in the first decade of space exploration to get it started, since then they have basically accomplished nothing. We've had no little technical innovation, no efficiencies developed, nothing of any worth. Instead, they've wasted a lot of money going around the Earth for little gain. Now, they've wasted billions in doing this, and the only option we've had until now was to lobby the government to try to convince politicians to take different policy steps. Just lobby them. We want a different program. We should be going to the moon. No, we should go to an asteroid. No, we should set up a program to, you know, build space stations. No, we should just simply do climate research. You know, all we could do is lobby the government. And, of course, that lobbying really didn't accomplish anything. You had different presidents propose and Congress proposing different space program proposals. And all that happened was that proposal after proposal and project after project died stillborn after spending a lot of wasted money. Well, we now have an option to the government's failures. We can ignore it. We can go into space ourselves by hiring a private company to take us there. And in fact, there are more private companies coming along, and as more come along, the competition will force them to lower the price. Think of computers. Think of what the initial computers cost versus what they cost today. Competition will lower that price. So eventually, the government's irrelevant. You want to go to space? You have a project? You want to make money in space? You can hire someone to get you there. And so while the world governments have spent the last half century dithering, freedom and the freedom of choice to pick a private company is going to put humans on the moon and Mars probably in the next 2 decades, very quickly. And they're going to do it for pennies on the dollar. And so that's why I say the real exploration of space started last week on September 15th, because up until now, government wasn't really interested in the exploration of space. But many, many human beings are, and they can now buy that ability on their own.
That's right. They're awarding contracts as we speak to upstart companies that haven't even gotten there yet. There is demand. The real human exploration of the solar system began on September 15th, 2021, writes renowned space historian Bob Zimmerman at BehindTheBlack.com. We'll be back in a moment with more with Bob Zimmerman.
Keep that six-shooter at your side. Fred on Texas will be right back after this.
If you're self-employed, you have a special health insurance problem. Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
I'm trying to help the individual out there who makes too much to qualify for any help, any subsidy, or benefits from the government towards their health insurance, but does not have the income to pay the incredibly high premiums we find if you're buying your insurance individually.
You can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. HurleyBenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y Benefits.com.
Native Texan, or just got here as soon as you could. Welcome to Pratt on Texas. Here's your host, Robert Pratt.
We're visiting with Bob Zimmerman of BehindTheBlack.com. Bob is a renowned space historian. He also wrote a major policy paper that you heard him discuss when it was released on this program many years ago, sponsored by one of the big think tanks in Washington, D.C., and it was capitalism in space and advocating for the free market doing these things. SpaceX has just shown that. They launched a flight completely designed by them, their own hardware, everything, put folks in orbit that were not government astronauts, and brought them back on Sunday evening safely. So SpaceX is doing a lot. And of course, in Texas, they've built their own launch facility down at Boca Chica Beach in south of Brownsville, north of South Padre Island and the Queen Isabella Causeway, for those of you that love to go down that way. They're working on a massive rocket there and their spaceship and all of that stuff. And one of the interesting things is it looks like they are beginning to grow even more. They've already got thousands of employees, I think, down in that area, which has always been a depressed area in Texas, frankly, the lower Rio Grande Valley. Their unemployment rate's usually twice whatever the rest of the state is. And I like the area, but it's never been, you know, a high-tech hub. Well, SpaceX is really changing this. And, of course, they can thank geography for that because you want to be closer to the equator for launches, and that's down in the very, you know, down in the tropics in South Texas. One of the stories I sent Bob Zimmerman for BehindTheBlack.com last week was a story out of the Brownsville media about how they've begun to lease a bunch of large facilities in Brownsville. And they pointed out that even though they have their little town out there, Boca Chica, their spaceport or whatever, Starbase he's calling it now, and all of that, they really didn't have much of a presence there. Bob, this is a growing industry in South Texas, isn't it?
Oh yeah, I mean SpaceX's presence there is going to change the entire situation in Brownsville and in Boca Chica. It's done it in Boca Chica, but Brownsville, you know, is close enough.
Yeah,
it's
and
just a matter of time.
For Texans, that includes Harlingen and McAllen, big cities too. I mean, it's because it's all one region with the universities. It's all one
right.
big area. So you're talking about Cameron and Hidalgo counties and others. That it is. It's a big deal. Talk a little bit about what they're doing there for people who haven't kept up with the giant rocket they're working on and the new system and maybe even catching it, the Starship, when it comes down.
All right, so what SpaceX is doing is it's building a reusable, entirely reusable rocket, top, front to upper and lower stages would both return to Earth and be reused. But that rocket would be the size of the Saturn V, what sent our astronauts to the moon. So very powerful rocket. And they've been doing flight tests in Boca Chica, which I think most of your listeners are going to know about because it's been big news. Because when private enterprise does it, they're doing it fast and it's so exciting. And so in the process of building this, and they're getting ready for their first orbital test flight. So in doing this, they've been establishing really a gigantic presence in Boca Chica. Well, now they have now leased two facilities in Brownsville, one at the airport and one nearby the airport. And in both cases, it's very clear what SpaceX wants to do is it wants to take advantage of the airport in Brownsville and the facilities in the larger city to get things running there close to their launch site. I mean, it's not clear what they're going to use these facilities for, but I can already guess one would be maybe they're going to make Starlink satellites there for being put on a Starship orbital flight to get them into space. It could also be they'll use this facility to build Raptor engines, or maybe not Raptor engines, but possibly components or large parts or even the entire Starship Super Heavy. Anyway, they've built these large facilities. Will bring more people to Brownsville. It's already have put the real estate through the roof.
That's so the sad
that's
part.
That's what's going on there.
That's a sad part for people like me that always like that it's a deal down there to go down and vacation. It's going to change. One of the things that's interesting is we would love as Texans for him to do all his big launches from that private spaceport of this new system. However, as somebody who understands that government tends to get in the way of things, and there are much... there are many benefits to launching a lot of launches, depending on what you're doing near the equator. He's bought some offshore platforms, oil things that are being converted to launch platforms. And a lot of people don't realize that Brownsville, the port of Brownsville, has just been redredged in the last over the last many years. It's still ongoing. It is a big port. And this would be a great place, even if he ends up having to launch elsewhere for various reasons, I mean, technical reasons or political reasons, it wouldn't surprise me if Starbase remains the assembly point where then you put these rockets on a barge to take them offshore.
Yeah, that's possible. That's one possibility. The other possibility is they launch from Boca Chica, but when they come down, they don't come down at Boca Chica. They come down on the oil rigs.
Right.
And so therefore,
we just don't know.
They could be those are their drones for Starship, essentially. They're drones to landings. And they could be in the Gulf. They could be anywhere. And then you just simply bring them back. Well, so that's another alternative as well. You mentioned the government interfering here, and this is important to mention.
That's the other story I want to get to, Bob, from BehindTheBlack.com. And I may have sent you this. You've already had it, I think. But
no, I got this from elsewhere.
Right. FAA... The Federal Aviation Authority is now taking public comments on the licensing of SpaceX to launch Starship Super Heavy from Boca Chica. And it just seems like, you know, coming in at the last minute, I know they've got all these rules, but coming in to try to gum up the works. And that's why I said that even a science site has to get political from time to time.
All right. Well, let me just say what this is, though. The FAA has released its environmental assessment of what SpaceX wants to do. It's a revision of their previous one because they're not launching Falcon 9s, they're launching Starship. So there was a requirement for the FAA to do a new environmental assessment.
Correct.
And so they released this. And the assessment is basically saying they approve of SpaceX launching from this site. But we're now in the public comment period for the next 30 days or so where people can publicly comment, and there's a link on Behind the Black if you wish to do so, and say whether they're the public is pro or con this decision. And then they must incorporate or at least consider the comments of the public in finalizing this assessment. If the public's comments are very, very negative, it might actually force the FAA to go against this. I think more likely what will happen is the FAA might be, by the Biden administration, slow walking this process. Not to say no, but to slow walk it, because it really is embarrassing to NASA and the federal government that the Starship Super Heavy could do its first orbital launch before SLS, having only been in development for 2.5 years, while SLS has been in development for 15 years.
Well, Bob, take it from me, somebody that's been in politics my entire life. More than the embarrassment, it's just you show your authority so that they have to bend on a knee and show fealty to government, you know, to the bosses.
Yeah, that's part of it too.
And okay, some of this stuff is okay. And I mean, it may not get in the way. There are some greeny weenies down there trying to, they make ridiculous claims about launches hurting the ecosystem, except of course, if anybody looks at the Florida NASA facilities, that's actually been good for the ecosystem. All that's surrounded by preserves and nature preserves and all those things, because it keeps development away, because you can't have people building houses and things right underneath the
Robert,
launch
let me
pad.
Insert something. This assessment talked about that at great length. It actually raised in great detail the benefits to the wildlife in Florida because of the existence of Kennedy, and talked about how launches themselves have had zero impact on the wildlife in that area, none. And if anything, the development has helped it. So they addressed that, and they were aware of it, and they included it. So that makes the arguments, as you say, the green weenies, weak.
Right, and we've seen those
also,
people.
Go ahead.
We've seen those people. I've sent you stories. You've had stories at BehindTheBlack.com. They're always around, and they're always making objections. But for the most part, I can tell you, even the Democrats in South Texas are cheering SpaceX on. This is the biggest economic development for them ever, my friends. Bob Zimmerman, BehindTheBlack.com, thanks for joining us, my friend. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God continue to bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.